in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. That won't be our text for this evening. You don't have to turn there, but I'll give you the text in a moment. But in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, Apostle Paul challenges Timothy to stir up the gift that is in him. And in giving him that admonition, we are reminded, as God's people, of the possibility for us to get settled. If Paul had to admonish Timothy to stir himself up, the possibility is there that we could get to a point where we need stirring, where we can become settled in the use of our gifts, in our pursuit of the Lord. Apathy is a danger that we can slip into as Christians. And it's interesting that even a topic like the resurrection that we talked about this morning, the sure expectation that Christ will return and we will be with him, the guarantee that we have in the finished work of Christ that we will be made like him, a topic like that, if we look at it from the wrong angle, the wrong vantage point, can be something that can lend to apathy. Philippians 1:6 says, "He who has begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ." That the resurrection is coming. It's a sure thing. And we proclaim that this morning. And if we look at that from the wrong angle, we can say, all right, the resurrection is coming. And I'm going to be made like Christ. So I'll just sit back and wait for the resurrection. And we can get in a position where we become very apathetic and just coasting along. And if we're going to avoid that attitude of coasting and avoid apathy, we need to have an attitude that the Apostle Paul had in the text that we're going to look at in a moment. And I'm going to give you the theme or the principle of the message this evening. And the theme is this, that the resurrection is not only an event that we wait for and look forward to. The resurrection is a goal that we reach toward. Let me say that again. The resurrection is not only, it is this, but it's not only an event that we wait for and look forward to, but rather it should be a goal that we long for, a goal that we're reaching toward. And the text is Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. It's a passage where Paul gives his burden to know Christ. Philippians chapter 3 and verses 10 and 11. I want to take a look at this passage and kind of qualify the principle that I just made, because it can come across as though I'm saying that the resurrection is something that we earn. And that certainly is not the case. But let's look at this text. Verses 10 and 11. Paul says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." Now, verse 11 presents us some challenges. You look at verse 11, and the wording seems to indicate that Paul wasn't sure if he was going to attain the resurrection of the dead. He says, "If I might attain." Well, that's a problem, isn't it? He's wondering about it. And the second problem that we have in that verse is this. The text certainly gives the impression that if he reaches the goal of the resurrection of the dead, it will be through his own effort. He says, "If by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead." And so the passage gives us some challenges. And first of all, this can't be what he's saying, that through his effort he's going to gain the resurrection of the dead. Because if that were the case, it would stand in contradiction to the many other passages that make it clear that the hope of our resurrection is found and guaranteed in Christ. And we reviewed those promises this morning. Remember the words of Christ. He said in John 11:25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he dies, yet shall he live." And so there's a promise in 1 Corinthians 15:22, "In Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." And so the condition for us to attain the resurrection of the dead is not our effort. Christ said, "Believe in me. I'm the resurrection and the life. You believe in me and you die, you'll have life." The condition is to believe in Christ, or as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, to be found in him. And also, if you look at even the context of Philippians chapter 3, we can see that Paul can't be saying that it's through our efforts we'll gain the resurrection of the dead. Look at verses 7 through 9. He makes it clear where his trust and hope is. "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuse, that I might win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. His hope for being accepted before God was not in his own righteousness, not in his own religious works. He says that it wasn't his zeal. He leaves all that behind. He considers it just garbage compared to what he really needs, and that is the righteousness that is provided to him by faith in Christ. Paul's confidence to attain the resurrection of the dead was to be found in him, was in Christ. And so that's clear. We have to go back to verse 11. So then what's going on in verse 11 where he says, if I might by any means attain unto the resurrection of the dead? And again, what I believe Paul is saying here is that the resurrection is not just an event that we wait for, but it's a goal that we reach toward. And that's exactly what Paul was doing in his life. The blessings that will be ours at the resurrection, when Christ returns and we're with him, and he calls us through death to be with him. The blessings in that day, fellowship with Christ, conformity to his image, knowing him fully, enjoying his presence, seeing his purpose fulfilled in us. All of these experiences that will be ours in the day of the resurrection can be experienced in part in this life. And that's what Paul was saying. That's the goal he's reaching toward. You could put it this way. Paul's saying, I'm not going to wait for the resurrection to be conformed to the image of Christ. I'm not going to sit back and say, well, that day's coming. I'm going to pursue him now. I want to know him so much, I'm not going to wait until that day. Now, there will be a day when all those blessings will be fully realized. Look at the end of the chapter, chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Paul says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our lowly body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. The power of God will be evident in that day when he calls us to himself. He'll change our bodies. We'll receive bodies that are incorruptible. And we will, in a moment, be conformed to the image of Christ. And we'll be saved to sin no more. And that will be his work. Take a look at 1 John 3:2. We have a similar promise that is made for us in regard to Christ's return and the resurrection. That in that day, by the power of God, we will be made like Christ. It's a sure thing. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so that day is coming when Christ will make us like him. But again, Paul wasn't waiting for that day. He's saying that goal of being like Christ, that's something I'm pursuing right now. In fact, all of those that have new life in Christ, that is something that they, by the Spirit of God, are motivated to pursue. Because look at the very next verse in 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. He just says, when he shall appear, we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So sit back and wait until the power of God makes us like Christ. Just kind of coast along. Is that what verse 3 says? Well, look at verse 3. What does it say? It says, in every man that has this hope, that is this hope to be made like Christ, sits back and waits for it to happen. No. The text says, purifies himself even as he is pure. They seek now to make themselves pure. See, Scripture describes Christians as those who are longing for the return of Christ. In fact, we saw that in the end of Philippians 3, those that are looking for the appearing of Christ. In 1 Thessalonians, when Paul describes the Thessalonian believers, he talks about the genuineness of their conversion because they repented. They turned from their idols and their serving themselves to serve the living and true God. And then it says, is another characteristic of a believer, their repentance that is ongoing, but also they look for the Son. They look for the return of Christ. Colossians 3 puts it this way. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. If you have new life in you by the resurrection of Christ, then seek the things that are above. 2 Timothy 4:8, Paul puts it this way, describing himself and all those that are followers of Christ. They love His appearing. They're looking for the coming of the Savior. Take a look one book further to the front of your New Testament, 2 Peter, in the last chapter. You only have to turn a couple pages to get there. 2 Peter chapter 3, in verses 10 through 14. Here a passage that describes the last days involving the return of Christ and the attitude that we should have in light of His coming. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are in it, all the material gain of this life, and all the stuff of earth shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy living and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, in which the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, even though all the stuff that we hang on to in this life, even though all of that is passing away, we, according to His promise, we're okay with that, because we look for new heavens and new earth in which dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, just sit back and wait for it to happen. Wait for new heavens and new earth to come. What does it say? No, be diligent that you might be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And so this loving of His appearing, this longing is not Jesus will one day come and everything will be good and we'll be like Him, and so let's just sit back and wait. I certainly don't need any effort on my part, because that day is coming. Now, loving His appearing means that we love Him. Right? He's the one that's coming. Christ said, let not your heart be troubled. I'm gone to heaven, I'm preparing a place for you, I'm going to come back and take you to be with Me. It's not looking forward to a day. It's looking forward to a person. Can you imagine a bride or a groom, a fiancé, heading towards their wedding, and they're looking forward to the day? And they get there, you know, and it's, oh man, I didn't know you were going to be here. It's loving the event. Right? What is a wedding about? The event? The day? Well, that's just a means to get to the person. Loving His appearing is not loving the day, you know, when everything will be good. I'm just going to sit back and wait for the day. It's He's coming. Loving Him, loving His purposes, what His appearing will bring to pass. It's a longing for what life will be like then. And it's a devaluing of all that will pass away when He comes. It's contradictory to say that I'm looking forward to Jesus coming when I will forever be with the Lord. And that's what 1 Thessalonians 4 says. I'm looking forward to Jesus coming when I will be forever with the Lord and not passionately seeking to know and walk with Him today. You see how that's contradictory? I'm looking forward to that day when I'm going to be with Christ. Well, I don't want to be with Him now. I don't want to walk with Him today. It's contradictory to say that I'm looking forward to Jesus coming when we will be made pure and all that displeases Him will be vanquished, and then have an apathetic desire for purity now. In that day, I'm going to be conformed to the image of Christ. And if I'm going to be conformed to His image, I better live it up now and do the stuff that He doesn't like, because I won't get a chance to do it then. Boy, that is so contradictory. Those who love His appearing love Him and love His ways. They make themselves pure as He is pure. It's contradictory to say that I'm longing for Jesus coming when the material gains of this life will be valueless, and then focus our entire life on the material gains that are going to be pass away. And that's why I said in the theme of this message that the resurrection is not an event that we wait for only. It is, and we long for it. And it's a sure thing, because it's based on the finished work of Christ. But it's also a goal that we reach toward. And that's the attitude that we need to have if we're going to avoid the apathy that Paul intimated with his charge to Timothy. Stir yourselves up. Going back to Philippians chapter 3, where Paul says, if by any means I may attain. He's not doubting that he will have part in the resurrection. We saw that can't be the case. What he is saying is, if you put it this way, whatever it takes for me to realize and experience the fullness of knowing Christ and being conformed to his image now, that's what I want. And he says, if by any means. This phrase is used in a couple other times in the New Testament. It's used in Acts. And there's a time when Paul was on a ship, and it was going from one port to another. He was being taken to different places, and he's under guard. And the captain of the vessel wanted to get from one port to another port before winter set in. It was real important for him to get the voyage along. And he said, if by any means, we got to get to that port. And his attitude was that whatever it takes, it implies a strong desire, an effort that doesn't count the cost because the goal is so important, it's so crucial, it's so valuable. And the captain said, we need to get to that port by winter. And I don't care what the cost is, we've got to do it. And that's Paul's attitude. Whatever it takes, I want to see the power of Christ's resurrection now. I want to know Christ. I want to know him now. I want to attain to walking with him. I want the power of the resurrection to move me to take up his cross and to walk as he walked. In verse 10, it speaks of the fellowship of his suffering. For Christ, before resurrection came, before glory, he passed through suffering. And Paul is saying, if that's the path that I have to walk with Christ to see the purpose of being conformed into his image realized in my life, then give me suffering. Because whatever it takes, I want to be like Christ. And for Paul, it wasn't so much that, you know, if that might be the case, it was since it is. In fact, in Romans 8, a verse we looked at this morning, speaking of the glory of the resurrection, it says, we shall receive that glory if we suffer with him. And the idea is that if we're going to be changed into the image of Christ, one of the tools, one of the pathways we must walk, if we're going to experience the power of the resurrection to conform us to the image of Christ, is the pathway of suffering. And Paul said, bring it on. If God, if that's what it takes to make me like Christ, if that's what it takes to cause me to value the things of heaven over the things of earth, then that's what I value. Because I want to be changed into the image of Christ. He even says in this text, the idea of not only fellowship of his suffering, but being made conformable to his death, being conformed to his death. I want to be like him even in death. Paul says, I'm willing to let go of life in the service of the Father and do so without regret. I'm not holding anything back. I want to attain to the resurrection of the dead, running towards the purposes of God and not holding back. And maybe he had the martyr of Stephen in mind. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen was the first martyr. And he was one, the scripture says, that was full of the Holy Spirit. He was one that had great boldness in ministry. And Paul was there before he was converted. And he was there when Stephen was stoned to death. He heard the message that Stephen preached boldly, to the point where the religious leaders were gnashing their teeth. They didn't want to hear it. They stopped their ears and they came at him. And there Paul saw that. And he was recognized the faithfulness of Stephen to the point where he dropped to his knees. And he said, Father, into my hands I commend my spirit. Just like the Lord Jesus died. He said, lay not this sin to their charge. Just like Christ in his death. And Paul was saying, I want to have that. He wanted to approach the great day of the resurrection, not waiting around for it to occur, but sprinting toward it as a prize, as a goal to reach toward. This is what he mentions in verses 12 and 13 and 14. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Being made like Christ was Paul's prize. It was a goal he ran towards. He knew that in that day he would be made like Christ when he saw him, but he wasn't going to wait for that day. It was a goal that consumed him. This one thing I do, I'm going to press toward it. The idea where it says that I want to lay hold of that for which I am apprehended, it means that Paul is saying, Christ saved me for a reason. He laid hold of me for a reason. And that reason, the ministry he gave me, and ultimately to make me like Christ, I want to attain that. He laid hold of me, and I want to lay hold of the goal that he grabbed me for. He wanted me to become like Christ, and so now that's my goal. And he said, I haven't reached it yet. He's not saying, oh, I'm there, I'm already resurrection perfect. Of course not. But he's saying, until that day, I'm sprinting towards it. It is the one thing I do. I let go of everything else that I may come to that day pressing onward. I don't consider myself to have reached the goal yet. I won't until the resurrection, but until then, I will press on. Because for Paul, the resurrection wasn't an event to just wait for. It was a goal that he was reaching toward every day of his life. And so here's the application for us as we finish. Are you waiting around for Christ's return? Scripture says we should be looking for his return, longing for it. Our eyes should be fixed on the return of Christ. But are we just, you know, it's going to come. So, you know, let's just be settled in our ways. That's a sure recipe for being apathetic. Is the resurrection just an event? Oh, yeah, it's that, you know, theological thing that's going to happen someday to me. I'll be made like Christ. Or is it a goal that you run hard after? For Paul, it was a goal. Then secondly, what do you prize? What do you value? Is knowing Christ and living as he did, even if it demands suffering, even if it demands great sacrifice, is that something that you're zealous for? Do you have this whatever it takes, that you're willing to let go of the stuff of this life in order to know Christ? Do you prize him the way Paul did? We sang tonight, all that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. That was Paul. Whatever it takes. And then lastly, are you satisfied with where you are? Paul says, I haven't attained yet. I don't count myself to have reached the goal yet. Paul was not satisfied. He said, I haven't reached the image of Christ. And it's not going to, he understood it's not going to happen until the resurrection, but it didn't stop him from pursuing it. Too often we become satisfied. Become settled. That's holy enough. I know enough of Scripture. I'm dedicated enough. I've take a look at my life and, you know, I'm satisfied. Paul said, I'm not satisfied. I want to continue to press on. I don't want to ever become settled and think, you know, I've reached the goal. I've been saved 20 years. I've been saved a while. What more maturity could I possibly have? For Paul, no. It's constant pressing on. Not until the literal resurrection came. And God, by his power, conforms him to the image of Christ. He wasn't going to stop pressing on. He wasn't one to coast. And so even as we look this morning of the wonderful promise that we had, it's a sure thing. The resurrection is a sure thing for those that are in Christ. And I trust that you know that you are. If you're in Christ, you can bank on it. The promises of God. Those that are, though you die, yet you shall live. But don't ever let that truth cause you to coast. Oh, it's a day that's coming. It'll come. Till then, well. Now, those that truly love his appearing love him. Those that truly are looking forward to the event are purifying themselves even as he is pure. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word for us this evening. Thank you for the comparison that we can have in the two messages that we've heard this day. This morning, the hope and confidence that your resurrection gives us. The foundation on which we can stand and face the difficulties of life with confidence that one day you will be with us and we will see your goodness. We will enjoy the glory and the joy of your presence. But Father, with that sure day before us, I pray that we would never allow that in our thinking to ever become twisted to think that we don't need to be pressing forward. That we can just sit back and wait for the day when you will do the work. Father, I pray that you'd help us to realize that the work that you are pleased to do in us, you stir in us to pursue it now. And I pray that we'd be running hard after you. Help us to be always satisfied in the perfect righteousness that we have in Christ. But Father, help us never to be satisfied with the conformity to his image that you are producing in us. And may we set as our goal of our life to know you. And help us to live in light of that day in a way that it changes the way that we live our life, even this day. We pray that you dismiss us with your blessing, that the truths of the resurrection would linger in our hearts and minds as we go from here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you're dismissed.